When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is always an exciting evening for us fellow conspiracy realists when we can hang out with the people who make this show happen. I mean, first off, Doc, and then you tuning in right now. We're going to explore some seedy biolab things. We're going to, as you know, I've been so into this. We're going to give some letters from home at the end with some recommendations from our fair metropolis. We're also going to talk about something called the Windsor Hum. But before we do, throw in a little plot twist this way. We have increasingly off air, we have increasingly been spending time talking about a game called Starfield.
Lusting over it.
Because yeah. We are an audio podcast. Noel, Matt, you know, Doc doesn't always weigh in on these things, but of the four of us, Codename Doc is the one who is currently living in Starfield, can even mm-hmm. say playing it, and and just want to be very appreciative there of the ways in which we explore these conversations. Like Noel, you're a Fallout guy, right?
It's my favorite game, and it's always been the game that's forced me to buy the next gen console. Like, I think Fallout 4 was only available on PS4, and that's what got me to buy a PS4. And I've never been an Xbox guy, but I swear to God, I'm considering it. Like, I really want to play. I feel I've got such FOMO. I mean, I really feel left out, and it's sad. I downloaded No Man's Sky just like a Band-Aid, kind of, you know, which is also great. But yeah, I want to get in there. But the pronouns.
Oh,
you see
thing.
The people yeah. are enraged. All these chads on the internet are like freaking out because you can assign pronouns for a game where people address you by name repeatedly.
Right,
give me
right.
a break.
Like, people got so pissed about the newest Little Mermaid because they thought the fictional mermaid character had to be a certain demographic. That was tut-tut. And Matt is by far, I think we can say, Matt is by far the most accomplished gamer of the three of us. Matt,
Matt beat Elden Ring like that. It was done with it.
Hey, hey, yeah, I can handle me some souls, okay? But look, one of the main reasons why I'm not playing Starfield right now is because I'm kind of upset at Bethesda because I want to be in Tamriel. And look, I've lived in that place since Morrowind, and I just want to go back and hang out in different parts of that, I don't know, continent, yeah. I guess.
It might be Hammerfell, I think, with the next Elder Scrolls. Anyhow, we digress, but we love this stuff because it is exploring another world. You know, it is a fascinating thing. We've got a lot of folks tuning in tonight. You as well as us, you are gamers. We want to give a shout out to our pal, Kelsey Ito, out in Hawaii, who sent us some Magic the Gathering cards, nice. Some macadamia nuts, some really cool stuff.
Is that Kamigawa?
That is Kamigawa.
Oh, yeah. Such good art in there.
Noel, no offense to you or me, but I think Matt's also the leader of our group in terms of Magic the Gathering, right?
Matt's got some serious powers. That's for
Uber
sure.
Nerd!
I don't know what that's.
Sorry.
I thought that was a Magic the Gathering word. No. It was a reference. I hear it now. I get it.
I did too. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I thought, is he casting someone?
Stora!
Yeah. Just so. So here is our first letter from home. This is from someone who is going by Saturday Morning Cartoons, MOURING.
You know?
Ooh. Yeah, nice. All right. So SMC says, hello, friends. The classic episode on the Windsor Hum was just uploaded on my Spotify feed for my listening edification. I remember this episode when it first came out. And I remember making a mental note that I forgot to fulfill to re-listen with headphones to the elusive Windsor Hum. I had the opportunity to listen with headphones today, and I have thoughts. That sound reminds me of a lower-pitched version of a strange noise I hear when talking to my old folks on the phone. I always thought that this was because they still use a landline, but I don't understand the logic to my conclusion. Every now and then, there are a series of noises that sound like the hum, but are higher pitched, like a beeping sound with various ranges. One time, I stopped the phone conversation to ask what all that beeping was. Matter of factly, they said that it was the government listening in. Classic.
Well, I mean, isn't that sort of a trope like in mob shows or movies where if you hear a weird little sound like some clickies on the phone, that means your phone's tapped?
Dude, shout out to M1 and the song Confidential. Listen to it if you haven't heard it recently or ever.
Oh, man, Matt, thank you. Dead Prez is awesome. and M1 is solid. By many accounts of people who know my folks, says Saturday Morning Cartoons, they have become very delusional with their religious persecution and have nosedived into even more conservative politics. Sometimes when my folks begin what I recognize as hate speech, the static-ish hum, beep sound will occur and they will get quiet and say that the government is listening. And they have to change the subject. They even say that the government has stopped their web service and made it impossible to connect to the world. Before I dismiss this as regular crazy talk, do you know of that sound or something similar that I am writing about? Is it a thing? It is a sound that I can vouch for, too, if my senses can be seen as reliable. Oh, well, it's not a pressing issue, just something I find peculiar. Beep, beep, boop, 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 beep, beep, beep. Toodles.
Wait a
minute.
I
love a toodles. Can I just say, I love a toodles as a sign-off. I think it is an underutilized expression, and I totally respect that.
It's cool. It's wholesome, right?
My kid says it.
It's super really wholesome. I just want to recognize that Saturday Morning Cartoons did put SOS in those beeps and boops just now.
Wait, yes, you were decoding?
Yes. It's worse. It's worse.
Oh, yeah.
And it's strange, though, because you know, the Windsor Hum, I'm pretty sure that we did find the most plausible explanation, but the idea of being tapped in, right? Or tapped into the idea of some sort of alphabet bro listening into your conversations, especially on a landline. It's very real. It's possible that there might be a phone conversation you have with some specific targeting, but as we found previously, and hopefully this is a bit reassuring, what we found every time we looked is that unless you are actively doing some shenanigans, or unless you are actively interacting with someone who's doing some shenanigans, it's an automated system. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind, generally when a tap exists, because there is a tap into the entire thing, it's into the trunk. It's not into your individual phone line most often. So I don't know. I think it's because I often associate with, as M1 associates with, someone physically listening, right? Like with a phone that has a receiver that also has a microphone active. So it's like you can hear somebody else on a phone, but that's not how these systems would function. It would be just capturing the audio that's occurring between those two with no microphone in the mix whatsoever.
Right.
So maybe that's why you would hear more of the machine sound, the like system running or something. But again, I don't even think that would come into it, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a key issue. So part of it is the idea of a landline phone, which is increasingly anachronistic. We all know that. The idea of someone purposely targeting and wiretapping you in the United States is laughably low. It takes too much work. There's a big bureaucracy behind it. And FISA courts are rubber stamps, but it still has to go to a court.
I mean, do you always have to install a physical device?
No.
Or no, it's downstream, right? Like, so it would be, yeah, you could do it like, I don't know, again, I'm tainted by Sopranos, but I feel like you could actually do it at the junction box for the phone, or even further along than that, right? Like, it wouldn't even have to go anywhere near someone's property.
Yeah, that's a great point, Noel. The junction box at this juncture is it's kind of
barely
like
a thing. Yeah.
Well, it's like being cutesy anachronistic. You know what I mean? It's like saying, I know that there are faster cars, but I love my 1963 Cadillac or something.
David Lynch uses a landline.
I'm sure he does. The more insidious part of this is that there is passive monitoring of all phone conversations in the United States. 100%. It's true. It goes through an algorithm, right? And that algorithm knows a lot more about you than you might think. But there is a certain narcissism to genres of paranoia. Paranoia becomes problematic when the person encountering the paranoia says, oh, of course, there's a huge organization that remotely acknowledges my existence or cares. And unfortunately, that issue is something that, you know, it can be humbling to deal with. The question here, though, is a question of information. Saturday morning cartoon. Did your parents get up to some misadventures? You know what I mean?
I miss Saturday morning cartoons.
Doesn't everybody? I do. I certainly do.
I don't think it's a staple like it used to be. I mean, there's barely cable, like, you know, it's a different world. You can get your cartoons on demand at all times.
You guys could use televisions on Saturdays growing up?
Yeah. My favorite part was when my parents stopped making me go to church and I could watch the Sunday Nickelodeon shows, which were its own thing, like Doug and Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, man. I feel like we derailed. I don't want to derail the derailment, but let's get back really quickly. Ben, you said something about maybe the parents were getting up to something, right? I just want to point to the Department of Homeland Security's Homeland Threat Assessment that they just put out on the 13th of this month, September 2023, 7 days prior to us recording this episode. You can check out their PDF that they created. You know what? I'm not describing this correctly, guys. It's the Homeland Security Office of Intelligence and Analysis Homeland Threat Assessment 2024.
Jesus, that's a mouthful.
It's a government document.
What yeah. do we say about? Sexy writing.
That's yeah. right.
Always. Oh, boy. Super purple.
Kittling stuff. Yeah.
But if you scroll down to the first section, where they are, you know, right after they describe their methodology and give you an executive summary, the first major section is about terrorism, specifically domestic terrorist threats, and how DHS is looking at that, like, the hardest of all possible threats to the United States right now.
Sure. It's easy to get funding for it. Also, let's put out in a book that we highly recommend called In a Stunning Coincidence, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. There's a pretty good examination of the Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon application or ideology or tactics used to collect civilian information, which is you don't have to be a shenanigan fan. You don't have to know personally a fan of misadventure. You only have to know someone within 6 degrees of someone who knows someone, at which point
you're part of the web.
You're right? Part of the web.
Mm-hmm. And now is this metadata type stuff that we're talking about? Like, you know, when they blew the lid off of the whole government surveillance, we know it wasn't actually names and dates and individualistic information, but it was information about information. Is that what we're talking about here? Or is this
similar? I mean, it's also a lot of the times, again, technology versus legislation. Many times what comes out in terms of the paperwork or the legal practice is sort of a fig leaf. You know what I mean? It's whistling in a graveyard. It's like calling shotgun doesn't mean you automatically sit in the front passenger.
Wait a minute. You don't subscribe to dibs? You don't. That's okay. I don't even know who.
Yeah,
you
well,
are.
It's going to go to SCOTUS. It has fair, multiple fair. Times, and in some stunning coincidence, Noel, Matt, in some stunning coincidence, every time the powerful in the country get the question about protecting innocent regular people or siding with the already powerful, they got a track record going with the powerful.
It's been 10 years since Snowden came out and told mm-hmm. us about the stuff Five Eyes was getting up to. And at that time, it was metadata stuff you're talking about, Noel. It was mostly looking at anyone interacting with a foreign actor of some sort, right? Someone right. outside of the United States.
You but got then, an aunt in Armenia, et cetera, up for grabs.
Yeah. And so, but then anyone connected to the phone that's connecting to the foreign actor is up for grabs as well. And mm-hmm. it goes down the line that way. That's how, at least legally, they were getting through that stuff. I can only imagine that since that time, there have been some evolutions to the stuff, like even the government policies that we don't get to see, the closed door stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask, you know, we're talking about the anachronistic kind of nature of a landline, right? But do you think that maybe folks are onto something, like they're not paying attention to that as much? Like, is there more privacy with a more old school type of communication system?
It's a good question. There's a, I would advance to you, there is a different sort of privacy. In the United States, people who own a landline are less likely to engage in social media. And if they do engage in social media, it's more likely to be one of the legacy ones, one of the dinosaurs like Facebook, Meta. The idea here is you're onto something, right? Like the thing is, everyone agreed to this, right? This is a representative democracy. You voted for the people who voted for the thing in the wake of 9/11. That is simply the reality. The Patriot Act, the Freedom Act, all those fun names. What they did is they sold your idea or your experience of privacy to the highest bidder. And sometimes yeah. to the lowest bidder.
Down the river is what they swear they sold it, you know.
Just so.
You're right, Ben, because, I mean, all this stuff was passed on under the presumption of, you know, national security and in, under duress in a state of fear where everyone's docile and kind of will just, yeah, of course, please save us from the evil men, you know, the wolves at the door. And then opportunistic politicians sneak all kinds of shit in there. It's a slippery slope, and there's some slippery folks.
Yeah, but also, you know, props to the Senate. They relaxed their dress code just earlier. So now, and it's all because of this one guy. But they were like, okay, shorts are fine and hoodies are fine now, but we're friggin' mad at you. Fetterman, his name is.
I've heard they're going to start allowing vapes in the halls pretty soon. After the
Lauren
Boebert incident. Only at Beetlejuice musicals. Only there.
No,
and, which, of course,
the
world is burning down, but let us do our little show. And what I'd like to wrap our first act with in this week's listener mail is a bit of a tease, a bit of foreshadowing. Previously, many years ago, we did an episode on the existence of something called the Brown Note. And the Saturday morning cartoons, when you were writing to us about the very real phenomenon, the very real conspiracy of tapping phone lines, we started thinking about weaponized sound. Also, check out our Hearing Voices episode if you've yet to tune in. Let's do the Brown Note real quick. What's the Brown Note? Like 3-4 sentences. What's the Brown Note?
Everyone just pooped their pants.
All right. It's quick,
frequency, right? It's a frequency probably super low that we have yet to identify
it
as humans.
It's an urban legend. It's a South Park episode.
Mythbusters tried to make it happen.
Did they succeed?
No.
I don't want to high road anybody. But if you really want to crap your pants, you should do it without a crutch. Just like,
let it go. It's very freeing. It's very
liberating. Be the change of drawers that you wish to see in the world.
Yes.
Here's the tease. There is something very interesting I found a while back going to William S. Burroughs, a little bit of Hunter Thompson, a little bit of David Bowie, not a brown note, but a black noise. The idea that there is a certain vibration that can psychologically crack individual humans, higher order intelligent life, as well as communities and civilizations. What are we talking about? Tune in a later evening. For now, we're going to pause. Thank you very much, Saturday morning cartoons. There is nothing crazy about what you're saying. And we very much appreciate your time, as well as every single conspiracy realist who takes the time to write in. Tell us your stories of weird landline phones, 1-833-STD-WYTK, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. Doc, can you hit us with like a brown note going in to the outbreak?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we're back, and boy, is it smelly in here. Guys, I just watched a video of Duncan Trussell, I think with his kid, talking
sweet
to...
Sweet man. What a lovely gentleman.
He's talking... They're both talking to Alexa, and Alexa keeps asking them if they want more fart noises.
Oh, no, yeah. I stumbled upon that. Yeah. Would you... Here's a tight one. Here's a really wet one. It's like a hidden feature. Alexa is a cheeky lady.
Yeah, well, that's just awful and gross. But Ben, that was such a hard tease. Like, you got me on the edge of my seat listening to the tease of that, whatever that thing is, that frequency, that sound. I can't wait to jump into that. My goodness. But hey, let's jump to the phone lines and hear a message from Bro Dude Man.
Hey guys, this is Tyler Colombaro out here in Reedley, California. We're out here in the agricultural manifesto of the United States, basically in Fresno County. They do a ton of agriculture out here. It's Reedley, California. There's trains that come and go, blah, blah, blah. But recently, something that you guys I don't think have talked about yet is this biolab that they found in our small town of Reedley, California. And there's not a lot of information available to the public. There's a lot of speculation because the public doesn't have answers. So we ongo this weird conversation of what actually happened, what was actually there. There's a lot of threats probably to people's safety and stuff. It's kind of weird. There's a lot of concerns because they were dealing with lots of different diseases and viruses in this small, unregulated lab in a small town, dumping hazardous waste, doing a lot of weird things. But it's a good story, folks. So I think you guys are doing an awesome job, and I think this would be an awesome story to cover. Ben, Matt, Noel, you guys got to check it out, dude.
What a fella. Bro Dude Man.
Oh, love man.
I like to think of it as one word, you know?
Bro, BDM.
Bro. Yeah.
I'm super into BDM now.
Uh-oh.
I could have told you that.
All right, well,
thanks, guys.
Thanks. Well, hey, and let's just, before we even jump into the topic, I'll just point out that I did check out the Symbiosis Now podcast. You can find it on Apple or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Thank you, Matt.
You can listen to episode 152 of his podcast titled Reedley's Biolab, The Threat of Biological Warfare and Constant Corruption with the Local Skeptic. Kind of a long title there, Bro Dude Man. I would say you could shorten them a little bit, but
you're gonna lose some of that in the fold, you know, in the cutoff. the read more.
But also, it's not a glass house, it's a glass planet. We are fully aware that the name stuff they don't want you to know is a mouthful. And I think it might even actually irritate my cohort a little bit when I point that out in sales meetings.
Well, no, that's what come
it's
on, that's
a good icebreaker. It's a good self-deprecating icebreaker. You need those in business.
That's our subtitle, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Yeah.
More Than a Mouthful.
Exactly.
Oh, great.
Yum, yum. Give me some. So wait, okay. So
Reedley Lab.
Yeah.
Reedley Lab.
So, okay,
I mean,
okay.
No. I think, you know, under the highest of scrutiny and security, I think things like lab leaks – are always of concern. You know what I mean? We
sure.
And they're often hard to trace. You know, I mean, there's a theory, obviously, that COVID resulted from something like that. So how does one run an unregulated lab that's dealing with highly volatile, you know, biological agents?
Well, how does this happen?
Yes.
Let us explore. I'm going to jump to ABC 30. Out of that area of California, I believe they're reporting from Reedley, California, from KFSN. You can find this article titled Everything We Know About the Illegal Reedley Lab, which is spelled R-E-E-D-L-E-Y, by the way. And in here, they're taking information that was an update from the Department of Public Health that was given to the Fresno County Board of Supervisors. here's a bunch of words. Ready? Officials found Prestige Biotech and Universal MedTech Incorporated had unauthorized biological agents, samples of bodily fluid, infectious diseases, COVID, and pregnancy tests, and nearly 1,000 mice at the Reedley facility. Illegal. All of that illegal without permits or permissions.
Oh, that's how you do it. You didn't break, you break the law. I got it. Okay.
Oh, and the owner surely is a native of Fresno or perhaps the United States. Tell me, Matt, tell me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everything's above board. Oh, we're going to get to that, Ben. We're going to get to that. I want to read this quote really fast, Ben, because this is from a code enforcement officer who showed up to the lab and started to discover these things. And I think it just speaks to the reason Bro Dude Man is like, or excuse me, Tyler. That's why it's like, what the heck is going on in our small town? Here this is. This is Jessalyn Harper. This is her quote. As I made contact with the workers on site, red flags started to go up. But I still, in my wildest dreams, wouldn't have realized what was inside the building and what they were actually storing on site. Again, that's a code enforcement officer that probably sees horrific things in buildings all over the area, right? I walk into a kitchen and you're like, oh my gosh, what is this? But in this case, you're finding infectious diseases just chilling with some mice that may have been injected by that infectious disease.
It's just funny because they're literally, the diseases are literally chilling.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And this information I find quite chilling. So,
well, yeah,
carry
Ben,
on.
Ben, let's jump to what you were bringing up. Tell us about these companies.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So, you know, you get in situations. Sometimes you're in a lab or you're running a lab that might not be entirely on the books. That's the American dream. You know, you got to be the change. However, it seems like our code enforcement officer that you're talking about, Matt, Jessalyn Harper, it seems that she started picking up some breadcrumbs, right? Or some crime crumbs, and found that the ultimate owners of this lab in Fresno were not U.S. owners at all.
Oh, no, not U.S. owners.
So journey with us, folks, as well as with Dude Bro Man, and imagine yourself as Jessalyn Harper. You walk into the kitchen, just like Matt said. And you go, what on earth is going on? This is probably too many mice, you know, like 1,000 mice, 1,000 lab mice. That's a lot. Storing infections in freezers, not the best look. there are vials of blood, you know, someone's collecting pee in jars. We got to find out who owns this, because that's what a code enforcement officer does. And apparently when Harper looks into this, she finds that the owner of this lab lives in China, and she is given, what was it, Matt, a phone number or like an email address? Like, hey, contact this person and get out of our kitchen. These are our 1,000 mice. These are our jars of pee.
Yeah. And it's connected to a company that was at the time developing COVID tests. It's kind of weird. that a Chinese company was operating, or at least an owner of a Chinese company or a Chinese national who was running a company was also running this, you know, lab.
This reminds me of the talk we have, the talk, like we're in the principal's office, the discussion we had about foreign interests owning land in America and how it doesn't always go both ways. You know, I just think, to your point, I think it's very interesting and unusual, but not that unusual, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
Guys, we got to get into more off the books labs. I think
for real.
I think there's what human resources would call an area of opportunity. You know what I mean? Why don't we open some laboratories abroad?
Yeah, let's do it, guys. I'm just trying to learn as much as I can. This is a bit new to me, so I'm kind of taking in information on the fly here. But this prestige biotech company, working in tandem with Universal MedTech Incorporated, it's very weird. According to ABC 30, and I've just checked it out, and they're correct, if you go to the website for Universal MedTech Incorporated, their COVID-19 antigen rapid test kit has been completely recalled. I don't know.
Turns out it actually gives you COVID.
Well, it freaks me out thinking about it, right? Again, think about if you're running on your company is running unauthorized labs that have infectious diseases in them, right? Who knows what kind of precautions are being taken? And what if in a similar place, a similar lab like that, you're also manufacturing test kits? Because you would need to produce at least components of that test kit in a lab of some sort, right? Oh, this is really freaking me out a little more than I even thought. Ay, ay, ay. But I don't know. There's a ton of information that's being uncovered right now. But ultimately, this is one tiny thing. This is a warehouse in Reedley, California that was running a bad lab with actors that were kind of unknown. It's strange, but it's not the only lab by a freaking long shot. When we spoke with Josh Clark, we keep bringing him up in the episode we made with him on these episodes because he made all these predictions about existential threats to humanity, one of them being biolabs, basically.
Check out the show, The End of the World, with Josh Clark. It does hold up. It is prescient.
Well, guys, Time Magazine, or Time, I guess we should call it, just put out an article on August 31st, you know, half a month ago, and it is specifically talking about, I'm going to just give you the title, The Danger of Invisible Biolabs Across the U.S. And this article details just how many of these things have been accidentally discovered, like this one, because there was a fire in the warehouse and, you know, code enforcers had to come out and make sure the building was good to go. And then they stumble upon all the mice and, you know, the lab equipment. Mm-hmm. Or there's some kind of issue in another part of a large building and they just accidentally open the wrong door, or I guess the right door.
Or like a grow operation, there's a higher than average electricity usage month over month, things like that.
And for a while, everything seems fine. They're just going to pay a higher electric bill. And then someone just decides, well, let me just actually physically take a look at this. And you discover one of these labs. It feels like something we're going to be dealing with a lot more in the future. And I would love, if possible, maybe we should get Josh back on the show and let's just do a whole episode on these biolabs because I want to learn more.
Okay. All right. Fine. Matt, if you want Josh back on the show, conspiracy realist, if you want Josh back on the show, let us know. Just full disclosure, he's getting pretty deep with, he doesn't call it illegal biolab, but he's pretty deep in what he calls his independent biolab. So we would have to, you know, have sweeten the deal, maybe buy the guy some mice, which I'm super down with, you know, if that's what we want to do.
Let's do it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bro Dude Man, a.k.a. Tyler, a.k.a. host of the Symbiosis Now podcast.
Check it out.
We will probably look into this further. I think we should. This is crazy. Yeah, my goodness. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we have returned with one final piece of correspondence from you. Yes, you. In this case, the you in question is RJ. Yeah, RJ. Or the human being. I love it. Love the human being.
B-E-A-N.
B-E-A-N, yeah. It's funny. I was actually, I think we were on the way to Florida. We stopped somewhere to, you know, take a little pit stop, and there was a coffee shop called The Human Bean, which I found to be unsettling. It's sort of a Sweeney Todd kind of scenario, you know? There's, like, human meat in them beans? I don't know. Anyway, great nickname, not the best name for a coffee shop, I would argue. Bean writes thusly. Hey, guys, love the show. A couple of thoughts that y'all can share on the show if you want. I think the Firefest guy should just try to capitalize on his failure before and put on the Firefest experience. sort of like the Harry Potter experience, you know, the Jurassic Park experience, which is essentially just primitive camping with sad sandwiches for a few days on a private-ish island. Could still charge about the same and no real investment from his end. I think people with money to blow would eat it up. Bean, I would argue that's kind of already what he's doing with this Firefest 2. You know, there's no details as to who's playing. The island location is undisclosed, and people are already eating it up because that's what people do. They want to be part of the meme. They want to be part of the story, and they don't care what they have to do to get there. It's very interesting. I'm really, and who knows? It could be all smoke and mirrors that any tickets have sold at all. I haven't gotten actual confirmation of that from any third party sources. Another missive here. Also, y'all talked about drug names, and I remember when bath salts became a thing, and I thought they were actually just snorting legitimate bath salts. You and me both, Bean. When I first heard it, I was like, what is going on with this? Like, I thought you could get high from snorting Epsom salt. I didn't find out the truth until this year. Okay, a little delay, but that's good. Better late than never. This brings up something I think would be fun to talk about first in a minute. Just the idea, we talked about this in something, it came up, the idea of analogs, of drugs that
fly under the radar of regulation because they're like one molecule different, you know, like Delta 8, which is a THC. Basically, it's the same molecule as THC. It's just one molecule is different, or whatever, one component. I'm not a scientist. Is different. This was very, there's a time when stuff that it was called spice was a thing. It was like this lab chemical that they would put on like tobacco or some other, you know, smokable herb, and it, so I've heard, got you really crazy high, and it was like kind of borderline could be dangerous. People would like not overdose on it exactly, but you know, it really was disorientingly strong. And I knew some people that kind of got on top of them. Bath salts was basically meth. I mean, I don't know exactly the science of it, but it was essentially an analog to something like methamphetamines. And I, in the city where I grew up, which has a bit of a seedy underbelly, I'm not going to lie, Augusta, Georgia, described by Dave Chappelle as the whitest and blackest city in America, which I think is accurate. Because it's got, you know, James Brown is from there, incredible, you know, musician and black musician. And then also it's like got the whitest golf tournament in the universe, the Masters. They only started letting black people play in it like last year. I'm exaggerating. But I knew some people that got really bad off on these bath salts. It's crazy. You bought them at a head shop. You could buy them at the hookah store. And people were going into psychosis, experiencing crazy paranoia. I mean, it was absolutely a legitimate drug, but somehow because it wasn't scheduled in its form, it was available. You guys remember the epidemic with all these lab chemicals? It was like a thing.
I just remember the face eating.
The face eating, the zombie guy. Yeah, that was a thing. But I mean, you know,
you're talking about in the U.S., right?
In the U.S., that's right. Because I mean, you know, we've seen it in Breaking Bad and stuff. People that get really bad off on methamphetamines are really, really strong. Yeah, well, that's legal speed too. We just had some cheers with our energy drinks. But no, I mean, people that get really bad off on these powerful amphetamines, or uppers, it compounds from a lack of sleep to just, it makes you absolutely go bonkers, and people will start like picking scabs and stuff and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And this bath salts was doing the same thing to people. It seems to have been outlawed. I don't think you can get it anymore, but there was a time where you could just buy packets of this stuff at your local little, you know, hookah counter.
One can always find an analog.
That's for
what
sure.
We're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because they're always one step ahead of the regulations, like we always say.
Recreational chemistry, and I can say this, recreational chemistry is a lot like rural Appalachia. A lot of kissing cousins. You know what I mean?
That's 100% sure.
When I put in Google where to buy bath salts, it says Target, Amazon.
I think we're talking about lavender type stuff here. No, it's funny though, because that's what they called it. And it really was like a total sneak attack. You know, it was like literally trying to sell highly addictive and powerful drugs under the guise of, because, you know, if you looked at the packets of those, it would say clear as day, not for human consumption. But we knew.
Everyone knew. Yeah. Oh, right. Like how those frozen blocks of grape juice got sold during Prohibition with specific directions on the carton that said, please don't do the following things. That will create wine.
AKA instructions, you know. Yeah.
Do you guys remember Omega Mart? That thing from Meow Wolf?
It's also in Vegas. Las Vegas. I'm going.
Yeah.
If you guys want to go.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow. I would love to. Tag along with you. But so they've got a product list on their website, and one of them is Bliss 1000X Extreme Bath Salts. And the way they describe it is, ever get punched in the face with paradise? Now's your chance. Grab relaxation by the throat with Bliss Extreme Bath Salts in tropical rage.
It's so American.
Amazing.
That's amazing. But this this idea, though, this what we're describing here, I think we're raising a really good point. The idea that there might be one story that pops in the national zeitgeist, right? And now someone got their face bit. And that has happened before. It has happened since. It might be happening right now. Hopefully not to you as you're listening.
Oh, God. What if that actually happens?
Yeah. What if someone's like, nah, I can hear the show over someone chomping into the bone. These headphones are great. This thing that you're describing here is a important point of order and perspective, right? Like to your point, Noel, you may hear about an analog drug that acquires some sort of viral status in mass mm-hmm. media, but you are not going to hear about the many, many other things that work just as terribly. I think the U.S. on its own had a very difficult time acknowledging the dangers of things like fentanyl
because
it no longer became a fun, quote unquote, Florida man story.
That's right. It's a whack-a-mole kind of situation, you know? I mean, it really truly is because you can tweak it a million different ways. So that was that. Those are the two little bits that a human being suggested that we chat about. I think we have checked that box. The most important part of this email is the first part. I kind of went in reverse. I have an unrelated question. I'm taking my wife to Atlanta for her birthday and we'll be staying downtown near the aquarium. Are there any places out there in walking distance y'all would recommend, food or activities or anything? Also, we're looking for a good Korean barbecue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If y'all know of any, we'd be willing to get an Uber for that if there isn't one close. Really quickly, I will recommend a Korean barbecue place that is close. Probably not the best in town, but there is one called Park 27 on Peachtree. And it's like, if it's not walking distance from the aquarium area, it's like super, super close. Obviously, the best place to get Korean barbecue is any spot on Buford Highway. It's an embarrassment of riches of world cuisine, and it's really something that you should check out. So I think we'd all recommend you catch that Uber and go get the real deal out there. Ben, do you have a favorite Korean barbecue spot out that way or one in town?
That I will disclose in the public.
You don't want to blow up your spot.
Come on, man. Right. So I agree with what you're saying about Park. Park is downtown. It's a close ride. It's also the one thing I can't remember is whether or not they charge for banchan.
They do not.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So that passes.
And it's good.
Passes the test.
The banchan was good. They also do like the cheese corn on the side. You know, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it D92?
That one in downtown Decatur is very good.
Yeah, it's legit. It's a longer Uber ride.
It is, but it's, you know, but that's the cute area too to check out. You can park and eat there and then walk around.
But if we're looking for walking distance, the main thing, I don't know if you love this sort of stuff, but I think all of us love propagandistic museums. It's one of my favorite things in any country. And you are right next. First off, the aquarium, awesome. It's great. Hang out there. It's worth it. You are also walking distance from the legendary World of Coca-Cola. Matt, how would you describe the World of Coca-Cola to someone who hasn't visited?
It's like a family-friendly Claremont Lounge.
Wait, what? First of all, just run, right? Run, don't walk right to the Claremont Lounge. That's an institution. That's okay. I'm going to think on that one for a minute, Matt.
There are levels to that one. Well done.
It's sort of like it's a small world at Disney or something like that, but with soft drinks.
Yeah.
It's like Spaceship Earth, but about the history of Coca-Cola. Doesn't it have like animatronic-y things and like moving kind of diorama type stuff?
There's a lot of old advertising. Back in the day, there was an opportunity. It got Willy Wonka-esque at the end. You walk into this room where there are these spectacles of soda fountains shooting little arcs. And then
you open your mouth. It shoots you right into it.
You get to try every soda that Coca-Cola makes. And then, of course, the worst one is an Italian digestif named Beverly or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's like a war crime for your mouth. Beverly is terrible, and it's part of the experience. But Noel, I would say, and you guys check me on this, I would say the World of Coca-Cola is like if North Korea was a soda. That's the museum.
It's got DMZ vibes.
It's got some, it's got some.
It's frankly, guys, I haven't been there. I've been once, and it was when I was very little. So
Dude, my memory,
I would love to go with y'all. It's one of those things, like people live in New York and never go to the freaking Statue of Liberty. Matt, your neighborhood bar is about to close. The Rusty Nail.
Stop.
The Rusty Nail's closing?
My dad just texted me. My dad literally just texted me.
Oh, man.
He used to go there.
I only know about that place because of you, Matt.
Well, it was my favorite bar with like that. You're not sure when you walk in there, like, are these people okay that I might, you know, like who I vote for and how I feel about politics? I don't know.
Am I actually going to get tetanus from all these rusty nails?
Yeah, you know? The staff is always amazing there and the food is just, oh, but after 50.
We went there
50,
once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went there one time.
We all hung out.
Mm-hmm.
After 50 years. I went in one time.
50 years, half a century.
It's a shame.
And they're closing. Matt, I went the first time I went in, it was to meet you and some of your old friends. And I saw a guy legitimately playing with a knife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they had like a barbecue shaped like a gun.
Yes.
Outside in the front. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going out Buford Highway way,
no.
Hop on by the old Rusty Nail.
No, they're not going to hear it. It's already closed. It's Saturday. This Saturday,
is
as we
closed.
Record, is the last.
Yeah, that's a quick
so
move there.
There are also some wonderful comedic venues. You can always catch a show at Dad's Garage in Atlanta, where you can see folks like our various good friends of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know perform there regularly. It is improv, but it is good.
It is good.
Yeah. Well, or my favorite Korean barbecue place is called the Vortex Bar and Grill. You should head there.
Classic. Yeah.
It's definitely an iconic Atlanta location. You might
know
it from the giant skull.
I hear.
Good black bean soup there. But a Korean barbecue place I like out on Buford Highway is called Iron Age. And they play like, you know, K-pop videos on these giant projector screens. And it's just good, solid, you know, it's very, very good quality stuff.
Mm-hmm. The High Museum is great. That's a
solid
sleeper
museum.
Hit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's an Uber ride to be clear, where you're at, the aquarium is sort of the big ticket item. However, you're less than a 12-minute Lyft or Uber ride away from some really, really cool things. We're very excited to know you guys are visiting. Can we say it? Noel, Matt, can we say it on air? Like, let us know.
We've hung out with people before. The local we talk about all the time, which has been saved, by the way. We thought it was closing because of these developer douchebags, but they apparently scaled down their project, and that I think is it's some of the best chicken wings in town, and just a good old bar. They do like a karaoke thing on Monday nights, and we love the local. I think those are good starting places. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't miss Grady Memorial Hospital either. It's a
number one trauma unit.
Really
in the
fun
Southeast.
On a weekend. Really fun. Really, really popping in the ER on a weekend.
Wishing you the best. If you get in a situation, and don't worry, I've been there as well. Okay. So
you
not
get in situations, Ben. You say it all the time.
If you get in a situation, you know. Good people watching like, is what we say.
There's seven people in Atlanta that are loving this right now. And everybody else is like, what?
Places to skip. I would skip Centennial Olympic Park. I know it's walking distance from where you guys are. But there's not really a lot of shade. There's nothing happening there unless there's a big event.
If there's a concert or something, you know.
If there's a concert or something, absolutely.
Oh, the Civil Rights Museum is right by the World of Coke.
Amazing.
I haven't been.
It's great.
Once again, I really want to go. And if you're into football, isn't there like a college football Hall of Fame or something like that in that area as well?
Yeah. College football Hall of Fame. That's like right up the way from the Omni. There's the Apex Museum, which is, I think, worth the trip. It depends on whether you guys like museums. Honestly, if we're giving you, we don't do advice, but if we're giving you observations, the trip's for your wife, man. So figure out what she wants to do and then just do that.
If she's into flying, Doc Holliday says the Delta Museum is dope.
The Delta Museum
is so dope. I didn't know that was a thing.
It's in Hapeville, which is closer to the airport, further away from the Atlanta metro area. But it is amazing. You can walk through the old planes. You can they won't let you fly one in case.
That sounds awesome.
They do have a Delta flight simulator that you can do for $400.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, ooh, I can say it on air. I've got to connect with the simulator. If you guys, you guys know I'm working on that.
You got a sim connect, bro?
I know.
Look me up.
Yeah, you want to go? You want to try it out?
I'm actually taking a real flight tomorrow, so I don't need a simulator.
It says
the real thing.
Well, that's awesome, but the simulator's for 1 to 4 people. All of us could go.
Is it $400 a person?
Not if we got a connect, bro.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot about the sim connect. That sounds
good. Yeah, we're all going on a real flight as well. This is so cool. We love stuff like this. Noel, I'm so glad that we're given some solid recs. And as you said, Matt, yes, maybe this is only interesting to a certain number of people or entities. But Atlanta's a great town. It's strange that it exists at all in the first place. It exists entirely because of railroads. And it is an inland city wherein railroads replaced the role of water and navigable waterways, and then airlines replaced the role of railroads. As a result, very fortunate, there is so much greenery in this city. It is one of the street names of Atlanta is the city in a forest. So you will be able to see lovely places like Piedmont Park. It's super cool. There's always something happening there. Get some chicken wings, as you pointed out, Noel. Get some Korean barbecue. Please do visit Buford Highway. Buford Highway is so cool.
If you're out that way, check out Lee's Bakery for the pho and banh mi experience. That's hands down the best in town. Probably some of the best you'll have anywhere. But I don't know. These are all solid. Also, one thing that I don't know if you guys have noticed this out that way as well, and in like Chamblee and that area, there are a ton of these new kind of Japanese lifestyle type stores. Like,
sure.
What were we talking about, Ben? The one that I just went to?
We talking about Tesco Life?
Tesco Life. It's like a, you know, shop with like, you know, they sell like body washes and lotions and things like that, but they also sell like blind boxes, and they have like tons of claw machines, and you know, if you're into that kind of stuff, there's tons of fun stuff to be had out there. But I think we've given some solid recs, had some chats. This is a fun email. Thank you, the human being.
One last thing, if you want to get weird with it, there's a place that I've only been to one time, but I remember going there. I remember what it was like. It's called the Imperial Fez. It's a weird restaurant here in Atlanta. Do you guys know
is
this?
Yeah. Moroccan? Is it Moroccan?
It is.
They have the dancers. It's a little pricey, but it's an experience.
It's for me. Never I will never forget.
Putting it on the list. I love it.
It's cool. I'll take it. Yeah, it's dope. Also, Matt, you mentioned Vortex in an earlier Korean barbecue joke because you were alluding to the Laughing Skull Lounge, correct? With the stand-up comedy?
Yes, with comedy, yeah.
Can't wait. Let us know. As a matter of fact, I'm going to email you. I'm going to email you, my friend, with a list of these recommendations. And then Noel, Matt, maybe we can chime in with this stuff. But as you can tell, you're right, Noel. I think this made our evening. Thank you to everyone who takes the time to write in, to talk with us, to share stories with your fellow conspiracy realist. As we said, by the time you're hearing this, we will have already hopped a plane. We'll be wheels up to Las Vegas and hopefully return safely. Now, Matt, you've been to Vegas. Noel, this is going to be your first time.
It is. And seriously considering possibly going stag, because you can get really cheap or cheaper single seats to go see the Cirque du Soleil Beatles show, Love, which I've been wanting to see it for so long. But I'm certainly down for company if y'all are into it, but we should talk about that offline. But I'm excited, man. It just seems kind of like a theme park of a town. What could be wrong with that?
Indeed.
Shout out to Darren Aronofsky, a guy that we are like kind of connected to through work. He's putting on a show at that Sphere place. Like,
no way.
On Instagram, I was watching one of his reels. His team is like editing on that giant screen. It just looks incredible. So maybe we can stop by the Sphere and see what they're up to.
Maybe we can. Also, shout out to Rob Reiner, interested to learn more about his opinions on the JFK assassination. Ooh, shout out to Saturday
for another
morning,
time, right?
Saturday morning cartoon. Shout out to you. Shout out to Bro Dude Man, aka Tyler. And shout out to RJ. Shout out to everybody who has tuned in and will tune in the future. What do you think? What do you recommend in the weirdest parts of the world? We cannot wait to hear from you. Everybody stay safe. And most importantly, we want you to join the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We try to be easy to find online.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know army, like the KISS army or the SISK army. No,
I'm off the armies now.
For good reason. They keep spending $100 million on planes and losing them.
That stealth tech was good.
It was good. They did a good job with the tech, just not so much with the losing. You can indeed do those things. Join our army, our militia, our cult of personality. You can find us online at The Handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, YouTube, X, nay, Twitter. It sounds like I'm saying Ixnay Twitter, which is also kind of fun. Did you hear that he's going to put the whole thing behind a paywall and it's just going to absolutely torpedo it? I think he's trying to torpedo it on purpose. It just feels like it. He's got ulterior motives. He's mad that he had to buy it, and now he's doing something to like sell it at a loss like you do with bad stock. I don't know.
He just texted me. I can't say anything.
Okay, fair enough. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Handle Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Hey, do you like calling people with your phone? Call 1-833-STD-WYTK. Also, put that number in your phone as a contact in case, what do we say? The void reaches back. No, what is it?
Sometimes the void calls back.
Yeah, that's it. Because it might happen. You never, ever know. It's not ominous, I promise. Hey, when you do call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message and voice on the air. That's all you need to know. 3 minutes. Say whatever you want. If you got more to say than can fit in that message, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.